Okay, today's shir is dedicated to
Chana
Kreindel Bat Rivka. She should have her refuah shleima and everything should go well today. This is the question that I got from one of the communities in the world. The question was as follows. They have funerals in the community from time to time. And as things go, you have obviously a funeral in the middle of the day. And right after the funeral, they daven mincha. Anyone see a problem with that?
In the Beis HaKfaris?
Problem number one, Harold. Go right ahead.
Davening in Beis HaKfaris is a problem.
What's the problem with davening in a cemetery? Lo eg la mate, you're close. Lo eg la rush. The rush means a guy who can't go ahead and return the insult. You're insulting him or making fun of him or her, and they can't return the insult. The Gemara talks about this in various places. Most distinctly, and this is a halacha that we have to remind ourselves of, those that wear their tzitzis out have to tuck in their tzitzis before going into a cemetery. Why is that? Because anyone? The mate, the people buried, can't do mitzvahs anymore. It's interesting. They may be in Gan Eden, but they can't do mitzvahs. We're privileged to do mitzvahs. We're not in Gan Eden. Because of that, the Gemara says you cannot wear your tzitzis into the Beit HaKvarot, at least exposed, because you're making fun of the people that can't. It's like you're going in to someone that has no arm and you say, "Here, look, I put on tefillin today." And indeed, the Gemara says this about wearing tefillin into a cemetery, those that wear tefillin all day, tzitzis, and obviously, just take it a step further, you cannot daven mincha in a cemetery. In order to solve that problem, what do we have to do? And it's not such a big problem, but what do we do?
You know, they're in the cemetery, they're dead. So in a hospital where they're alive and also can't get up to do anything, is it the similar idea that because people are in bed and can't get out of bed? Or
no, not necessarily. No, not necessarily, for two reasons. Number one, the people in the hospital are still alive and perhaps they will be able to get up and eventually daven. Well, it's not like you're making fun of them. Loeg LaRosh is, pardon? Of course you can daven lying down. That's not, first number all, these people, even if they can't daven right now, God willing, they will be able to daven. Number two, they have an exemption called Anus Rachamana Patre. They're not able to physically daven. So it's not like that. The dead people will never daven again, and they also don't have to daven, so it's two strikes against them. Number three, and this is something else that makes a difference between a hospital and a cemetery, is that in a hospital, you can daven laying down. You can daven sitting down. You can say Shema. So therefore, it's not like you're totally lifeless. In a cemetery, you are. In order to solve that problem, what do?
Why not go like by the office or away from the cemetery?
Exactly. The halacha is, and this is very important for Kohanim to know because they can't come into a cemetery, you have to be at least 4 amot away. So you go 4 amot away, and you've solved the problem of making fun of the dead. So lo'ei garash, making fun of the dead, is now solved. We have now distanced ourselves exactly how much?
4 amos.
4 amos away from?
The caver.
The place, the caver, wherever it is. It could be the cemetery, so you just move out of the cemetery and you daven mincha. What's the second problem? This is sort of a secret because we live in Efrat. And there's a very interesting something that happens in Efrat. See, in Chutz La'aretz, when Shabbos is over, so usually you have something called Mincha and Ma'ariv all week, and especially on Shabbos. So you have Mincha, and sometimes you have Shalashudas in the shul. Then you daven Ma'ariv. Even if you don't have that set up, you daven Mincha, and there's a shir, and then you daven Ma'ariv. I won't go into the problem with giving a shir between Mincha and Ma'ariv on Shabbos. That's an interesting, in and of itself, Kabbalistic issue. But let's assume you have some sort of a setup. Where are you davening Ma'ariv? In the shul. What happens in Efrat, as well as other communities around this country? When Shabbos is over, you walk 10 steps, you have 10 people. Am I correct?
Correct.
10 steps, 10 people. Every 10 steps, you got yourself a minion. Each one has a different name. Some are called Megarshei HaShabbos, throwing out Shabbos. They don't daven when Shabbos is out. They daven 10 minutes before. Some are called the lovers of Shabbos. They daven 10 minutes after. Some daven exactly when Shabbos is finished. Everyone has their shita.
Somebody's called
gentlemen,
the smokers,
may... Pardon?
The smokers' minions.
The smoker's minyan, yes, those that are suffering on Shabbos for not smoking. I can't understand it because I'm not a smoker, but I understand that it's terrible pain. Even with tobacco gum, it's terrible pain. And I want to say I'm not condoning smoking for a moment, but if you do smoke, I can definitely hear your pain. Gentlemen, what's the problem with davening like that?
You have to daven your kiyur. It's one of the problems. You can't just daven in the chaser.
Go a step further. This is one of the last Gemaras in the fifth perek of Meseches Brachos. Right before you get into the perek, it talks about Brachos, Ketzad Mevarchin. Right? It's a very interesting daf in the Vilna Shas because it's mamish, a perek ends and an amud bet. It's like a nice ending. It's like its pagination works out over there. And right again, Ketzad Mevarchin. There's an old joke in yeshivas that you start Brachos from Ketzad Mevarchin and you start Shabbos from the seventh perek and you start Gittin from the second perek. Like the first ones are not ones learned. But let's say you learn Meseches Brachos and you get to the end of the fifth perek. At the bottom there it says, you're not allowed to daven outside in open air. Not allowed to daven outside in open air.
Because of distractions? Or?
It could be because of distractions. That's one day in Rishonim. There's other day in Rishonim. But that's a problem. Not allowed to daven in open air. In order to solve those problems, there's many, many answers. The most distinct answer would obviously have to not answer the question of our Ma'arivs on the street here in Efrat. I'm not sure that Gdolei Yisrael really dealt with that question. But if you look in the responsive literature, they had to deal with a bigger chatzer in which people daven outside. A very famous one. Can anyone tell me what it's called? The Kotel! So I'm not going to go into it now.
That's like a shul already.
It's outside. Shul has to have certain dimensions. It doesn't have it. So there's been various answers given. If you want to see a tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer deals with it at length. And one of the answers he gives, and this is basically accepted, if it's a minyan, it's okay. Only when it's not a minyan, it's not okay. So we have now distanced ourselves four amos from the Beit HaKvarot. We have now been, thank God, davening with a minyan, hopefully. So therefore, there's no problem of davening outside.
Do you need a kir?
That's one of the answers given, that if it's a chatzir with a kir, meaning there's a fence around it, perhaps it doesn't have the same status as the open air.
The kotel would have that.
Right, the kotel does have that. It has a kir around it of at least 10 tfachim. But anyone can please tell me what else could be the problem. There's a huge problem. You've already alluded to it.
Distractions.
You see, even if you're allowed to daven outside and there's a minyan, the biggest problem with davening outside is that, unfortunately, we're living in the world, and please don't kill me if I say this, and I hope you can accept it, because this is just, in my opinion, logic and not being naive. Everything is more interesting than your sitter. You're davening outside and a car is coming by and a car is honking and a guy's walking down the street and a lady's walking. Everything becomes more interesting than saying, Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Chus V'Rachem Aleinu. Hear our voice, my Lord, my God, and listen to my prayers. It's extremely and utterly difficult to daven outside because of distractions. And therefore, that is indeed a very big problem when you daven outside. Just to add to the problems, we've taken care of davening in the cemetery, we've taken care of davening outside, but we still have the challenge of distractions. Just to add to it, these avelin, these people that just came out of the cemetery, every one of them davens mincha every day? Not necessarily. And here is where I want to bring something to the table that I think you have to be sensitive to. When we talk about halacha, then sometimes you think about, well, how do I get into a mincha? So daven right outside the cemetery. What's the problem? You got yourself a minyan, it's fine. These avelim went from a state of aninut to avilut moments ago. What does that mean? Aninut means you don't do any positive commandments, including saying brachos and davening. They didn't put on tefillin. And now you're transitioning into the 7 days of mourning. And at that moment, as they walk out of the cemetery, before they can catch their breath, what do you say to them? Hey, let's daven mincha twisk. I'm not so sure that's the best therapy for Avelim. Perhaps they should go home. And you should matriach yourself to follow them. Let him go and get settled and eat something, the Sudat Avra'ah, which is a halacha. And afterwards, you'll daven mincha. As opposed to, well, it's convenient for me because I already left work because I went to the funeral. So here, let's daven mincha. And we're helping you so you can daven Kaddish. You can say Kaddish.
What happens if the Leviathan the burial takes place right before Shkia?
So that's where I think you have to use a little common sense. If the Levaya is so close to Shkia, and the Avelim our people, that indeed are people that like and are part of a minyan throughout the year. And they are interested in saying Kaddish, and this is going to be one of their first Kaddishes they're going to say. The first is said at the cemetery itself or at the funeral. Then obviously they'd be very appreciative if 10 people maybe would stay, and they'd daven mincha right there, perhaps. But if these are people that don't daven mincha every day for whatever reason, and just because it's convenient for you or convenient for the rabbi or convenient for everyone there, you have to look past your nose sometimes and say, okay, you know, it's a big thing to daven mincha. It's even a bigger thing to daven mincha with the minyan. But with due respect, and this is a secret, but we have to say it, is there an obligation to daven with a minyan?
No.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein comes to the conclusion there is. But let's not take Rav Moshe Feinstein's innovative position on this. The Gemara seems to say that davening with a minyan is a great idea because Hashem has to listen to your prayers. He may say no, but he has to listen to your prayers. The Gemara takes the pasuk that many say in the morning, V'ani tfilati lecha Hashem et ratzon. If you don't say it in the morning, where else do you say it during the week? Mincha on Shabbos. V'ani tfilati lecha Hashem, thank you, et ratzon. When is it an et ratzon, a time where Hashem will be open to your prayers? The Gemara says when you daven in a minyan. Or as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Das Dalit, if you daven in a minyan, Hashem has to listen to your prayers. Again, he may say no. So minyan is important. But when you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadel ma'od li'palel b'vet ha'kneset im ha'tzibur. You should try very hard to daven in a shul with the minyan. If you can't daven with a minyan, you should daven in a shul. And if you can't daven in a shul, you should daven with the minyan. But he never says, you must. He says, Yishtadel ma'od. And I think we all do. But when you take that against the avelim that are just coming out of the funeral, and they just buried their loved one, and they need time, a bit of time, of closure, and all you're thinking about is yishtadel ma'od li'palel b'vet ha'knesset im ha'tzibur, and not of the human beings in front of you, something's not right there. And I'll tell you why. First of all, on a human level, insensitive. But second of all, on a halachic level, can anyone quote me a halacha that's extremely important? I'll give you a hint. Kvod HaBriot. What does that mean?
Sensitivity to others.
Sensitivity to other human beings. The Gemara says, Gadol Kvod HaBriot. Great is sensitivity of other human beings. Shedocher lo ta'aseh shebal Torah. It even can nullify a negative commandment in the Torah. The Gemara is quick to point out, we don't mean a negative commandment biblically. Just because it offends someone that you don't eat pig, you still can't eat pig. But rather rabbinically. There's a rabbinic something or another. So you can think about this on Shabbos and other places. I'll just give you one, and excuse me for being graphic. Many of you have gone to the washroom on Shabbos, and there's no cut toilet paper. Cutting toilet paper on Shabbos is probably the Rabbanon, and therefore everyone that I know is matir if you cut it in a certain way, if there's no cut toilet paper on Shabbos. That's Gadol Kvod HaBriot. It's based on the Gemara that talks about that long before our situation. So you have Kvod HaBriot, and you don't have an Isser here. What do you have? Perhaps, a rabbinic commandment to daven mincha with a minyan. Davening mincha is definitely rabbinic if you daven shachris, according to all poskim. The Rambam says davening once a day every day is biblical, so you daven shachris already. That's rabbinic. And davening with a minyan is rabbinic, and you have a velum here. I'm not so sure it's a great idea at that moment to go ahead and make a minyan, hey, chop in the avelim too. Sometimes we have to look through past our own noses and ultimately think about, hey, there's avelim here. Again, on the other hand, if these people are concerned about saying Kaddish, want to say Kaddish, then why not daven mincha with them? So comes along Harold and says, okay, I can understand, but that's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But let's say the funeral goes into overtime. What time is sunset today?
4:25.
A quarter to five. We're getting this already, 4:40. So should we forget everything you just said and say, well, you know, either we're going to daven now or never?
Common sense,
but I'm not so sure common sense dictates halacha. Halacha is not based on common sense. If halacha would be based on common sense, you'd probably say a woman doesn't have to go to mikvah. There's baths in every house. Let her go to a bath. Common sense. A house full of Sifrei Torah doesn't need mezuzahs. Common sense. I don't know if it's common sense, but let's say it's 4:40. Once again, gentlemen, let's think about this halachically. It's 4:40, skiers 4:45, the Avelim are coming out. You just did the Shura, where they walk between you to give them words of condolences. And then a second later, you want to daven mincha. What should you do?
Ask if they're up to it.
That could be a very good idea. Someone that's close to them should ask, are they up to it? And if they're not, wait. Why do I say wait?
Well, we have an obligation to daven.
We have an obligation to daven mincha. Now, these Avelim are not going to stand there for the next 20 minutes. And here, allow me to tell you, let you in on a little secret. We've been brought up our whole life on the word shkia, 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 shkia. Everything is shkia, 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 shkia. There is a shita of Rabbeinu Tam. But let's not take Rabbeinu Tam, because the Gemara already said, hachush machish, I see it's dark outside. How can you say it's mincha time? What if the Ramah paskin on the issue of mincha? When is the end of mincha time according to the Ramah? Again, I didn't look for a shita somewhere tucked into a Sharat Ziyun on the Mishnah Brura on the bottom in the small print with the Rashi that actually got misprinted. The Ramah! When does the Ramah say is the end of Mincha time? Anyone can tell me.
Right before sunset.
Anyone? Can please, behind you, a Mishnah Brura Chelek Bet, please. Anyone? Simon Reish, Lamed, Gimel, Mishnah Brura, to the left of you. The left shelf, right there. Chelek Bet. Because I see people around the table thinking I'm making this up, I'm going to read it inside, just to make sure you all know and understand. And I'll tell you how I found this out. I was in a place called Krakow. Why is Krakow and the Ramah related? The Ramah was the rabbi of Krakow. We're sitting there in a rabbinic conference. And every time you're at a rabbinic conference with rabbis, there's always a few frum people in the room. And part of them always saying, you know, we have daven mincha, we have daven mincha. In the middle of a good discussion, within the rabbis, there are some that are frum, and they say, hey, time to daven mincha, time to daven mincha. And then you continue talking, the mincha, 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 shkia, 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 shkia. So eventually we got up, we daven mincha. And that day we went to the cemetery and we saw the Ramah's grave. So I thought, coming back from the cemetery, I just saw the Ramah's grave for the first time with all the stories that go around the Ramah's grave. Let's learn a Ramah. So we just finished mincha. So I said, hey, let's open up. Zman tefilat mincha. So I open up the first Ramah. The first Ramah talks about all the things that you're not allowed to do before mincha. Oh, forget about that. We already davened. So I said, when does mincha end? And I quote. Everyone ready? I quote. This is Simon Reish Lamed Gimel. Everybody ready? And for us in these places, it doesn't make a difference to talk about Plaga Mincha. The Mishnah Brura says the following. Lav Dafka. Maybe the Ramah didn't mean it when he wrote Ad Tzeita Kochavim. You know, Derech Reva Shah called him Tzeita Kochavim. Real means 15 minutes before. Because I'm a Litvak living in Radin, and of course, Ben Ashmashot is either night or day, so we can't daven then. We got to daven at Shkia. So we always say Shkia, 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 Shkia. Gentlemen, the Ramah himself says, you can daven Mincha till Tzeit HaKol Chavim. That's the Ramah. Tzeit HaKol Chavim. It's so clear in the Ramah that the Mishnah Brura has to go ahead and say, well, he didn't really mean it. Now, gentlemen, you're at a Beit HaKvarot. Avelim are coming out. I'm not saying dictate your life based on this Ramah. Daven before Shkia, good idea. Daven whenever is good before Shkia, but you're at a cemetery. The people are coming out. They're distraught. They're crying. At that moment, make a minyan in front of them? Or wait 10 minutes till they get into the car. Chutzlar, it's the limousine. And daven mincha. Daven mincha till Tzeit HaKochavim. Good idea, and I'll tell you why. There's a shul in Washington Heights, known as the Yeki Shul in English. It's really called Adat Yeshul. And in Washington Heights, Rabbi Schwab, or the one before Rabbi Schwab, what was his name? Rabbi Breuer, they instituted in their shuls, since Chutzlaris has always been Chamayr, if you got yourself a choice, you daven mincha before Shkia, and you daven Meir during Ben Hashmashos, and therefore you have to repeat.
Kriyat Shema, or he decided to do the opposite. He said, Mincha zeh derabanan, you have the Ramah. Well, we go with the Ramah. So they bedafka davened after Shkia during Ben Hashmashos, so that Ma'ariv will be after Tzeit HaKochavim, because who in God's name is going to repeat Kriyat Shema? What are you going to do? You're going to start regulating people to repeat Kriyat Shema? Even if you make the announcement, they're going to forget 2 seconds later, because after all, their phone is more important, their emails are more important, dinner is more important, the TV show is more important, and of course, above all, the news is more important. So therefore, because of all these reasons, it's very difficult. So they dafka did it then. But the shul in Manchester, I'm assuming, is doing the same. But gentlemen, what I'm trying to say to you is, when it comes to this mincha quandary, we can't daven mincha at all costs when it's good for us. Because sometimes it's not good for the people around us. And therefore, absolutely we daven mincha every day. But not at all costs. Not at all costs. And I just want to add one more halacha. Assuming that you left the Beit HaKfarot and you're looking at your watch, and it's already getting close to Tzeit HaKochavim. So instead of you saying, here, let's make a minyan right here, what could you do? The Avelim are distraught. We can't judge them. They're anus. We're not. You have a minyan. Walk around the corner where they're not there and daven then. I mean, gentlemen, what I'm trying to say is,
sensitive to them, because even though they're in Avelut, if they daven every day, they don't want to daven.
Again, if they want to daven this whole shir, throw it out, daven with them, and everything's great, you're doing them a great service. But if they are not in the state of mind to daven, or they're not interested in davening, these people are Avelim. We have obligations towards them, such as the Sudat Avraah, and being Menachem and whatnot. And the basic sensitivity needed at that moment is to say to yourself, I am not going to take care of myself at the expense of others. So if indeed you're in a situation, then walk around the corner, wait a few minutes, be somech on the Ramah, and I'll add one more thing. If they want your words of comfort and you're dealing with that, don't we have a law, ha'osek b'mitzvah, patumina mitzvah? They're avelim, you're menachem them. They want to talk to you. They need a conversation right now. I'm not saying in every situation they want to talk to you, but if they do, you're in the middle of it. So don't we have a mechanism for such situations? What's the mechanism?
Huh.
No. If you miss Shacharis on purpose, you just slept late. What's the mechanism? No! If you miss Shacharis on purpose, namely, you got up in the morning, you said, I'm not getting up for Shacharis today, I'm sleeping in. Kriyat finished. What do you want, a prize? Finished. But let's say you put on your alarm clock, you're a good Jew. In the middle of the night, the electricity went out, and you have one of those alarm clocks that are still connected to the wall called one on a plug. You remember those in the dinosaur ages when the dinosaurs used to roam the earth? Right? So you have one of those alarm clocks, correct? And in this alarm clock, the time goes off, and you get up at 9:30 in this past month, fila, and whatnot. So you can daven until chatzos. But let's say you got up at chatzos. You didn't mean it. When can this happen? And I say it happens all the time. If you take a plane, let's say from Israel down to Australia, or you take a plane from New York to Israel, and within 2 hours of taking off at 11 o'clock at night, it's already Shacharis time. And you're sleeping, not because you want to, because that's your biological clock. What are you going to do that the plane's going past 25 time zones? And you wake up, you miss Shacharis. What's the halacha? Fly backwards. The halacha wasn't so locked there. Idavin mincha twice. And what happens if you miss mincha again? Not on purpose, not because you wanted to miss mincha, because you were in the middle of a mitzvah. Perhaps you don't even have to daven ma'ariv twice because you weren't obligated in mincha, you were in the middle of a mitzvah. But here, maybe you're not in a mitzvah, you're just being sensitive by not doing something. Again, for good reasons. You're anus. You just can't. It's like sitting down on a plane where you can't daven for whatever reason, and you know you want to daven, but you can't. Let's say the person next to you is half-dressed, and you have no way not to look at them. I don't know how this happens, but let's just assume that's the situation, and you're sitting down. Sitting down is not a problem, but looking at an erva is. What do? You daven ma'ariv twice. So daven ma'ariv twice.
You can close your eyes.
Again, you probably could. I'm not saying you can't. That's what Rav Soloveitchik would do at weddings. He never told the bride to put a scarf or whatever it's called. He just said to her, he just looked in the sitter,
And once he was at a wedding, actually, and they even said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, don't you know the blessings by heart already? He says, no, I forgot. It's always good to use a sitter. It's a nice way not to offend someone. But gentlemen, we do have a mechanism in that situation, and that is to daven Ma'ariv twice. So what I'm trying to say this morning is, sometimes because we're so frum, and we want to daven mincha, and we should daven mincha, and on a regular day we do daven mincha. Hopefully everyone around this table today will daven mincha, and on time, and before shkia. Beautiful. You have to take into consideration that sometimes life is not perfect. And if you're at a funeral, and this is what's happening, then you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to offend the aveglim. This could be detrimental. If they're even quasi-frum, and they see this is what you do, perhaps their whole attitude towards frum people will be based on your insensitivity at that funeral. And it's extremely important. It's extremely vital to understand we're dealing with people that are 100% vulnerable. They are looking their mortality in the face. And therefore, we have to take into consideration what I said. So first of all, not in the cemetery, that's usur totally. Walk outside the cemetery. Number two, if it's in the open air, make sure you have a minyan. But number three, and this is the most important thing, be sensitive to the people around you. They want to daven, great, daven with them.
What about people who...
If they're not able to daven, walk around the corner perhaps. And if all of the above don't work because they want to talk to you, my suggestion would be talk to them and daven Ma'ariv twice. This is not common sense. This is Menachem Avel. This is comforting someone that just lost a loved one. If someone needs comfort, you don't tell them, talk to me after I daven. Someone needs it right now, they need it right now.
Why does davening twice at Ma'ariv work when it's like a new day?
Very good question. After all, we're going from, let's say, tonight, we're going from Wednesday to Thursday. How does it work? Yeah. Right? Anyone have an answer? Very good question. It does work. I'll give you the simplest answer. We think that the day begins at night. That's the way it is when Yom Tovim comes, Shabbos, etc. What was the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash?
The morning.
You can take the morning korban tamid and burn part of it, and certain parts of it they burnt at night.
So davening is like
korbanos, and perhaps it goes that the day that the night follows the day. Could very well be. Hmm. After all, Ma'ariv, we daven, not just because Yaakov Avinu davened. If that would be the case, we'd have more of a problem. Because at night they would burn the parts of the korbanos that they brought during the day. So perhaps Ma'ariv does follow the day. In other words, Wednesday night Ma'ariv is Wednesday night Ma'ariv. It's not the beginning of Thursday, necessarily. So that's probably the answer. Again, I can give other answers. That's a shir in and of itself. Yes?
What about people who go to the graves to daven? I mean, we're not supposed to wear our tzitzit outside when we walk into the cemetery. How can we go and daven there?
So you're not davening. You're actually then not davening for yourself, but you are concerned about yourself, but you're davening at a gravesite and you're showing respect to the actual gravesite, and that's okay. As a matter of fact, that's what we do. At a funeral too, we say psukim and whatnot, because we're doing it in honor of the mate. Now, I want to just make clear, I hope that what you said was a slip of the tongue.
It was.
Thank you. I hope no one around this table and nobody listening is davening to dead people. No. That is of a different religion. Not the Jewish religion. As a matter of fact, there is a pasuk in the Chumash against it. It's called Doresh El Hamitim. And I do very much hope that all those that go to a certain place in Russia that starts with U, or other places around the world, are not davening to the grave, but they're davening to God and saying, in the schut of the person here, I hope that you will give me a good shidduch and whatnot.
So if this is true, then why going to the grave and having your tzitzit out of hand? They're not there. They're up in Shemayim. The stone that's there, the tombstone, is just a remiss for you to focus yourself. Why should this be a factor at all?
Bruce asked a very good question. I want to answer it. He said, why would the dead people care? They're dead anyway.
No, they're up there. They're not there.
They're up here. They're not down here. And who knows what's down here already and whatnot. Okay. So, Bruce, I'm going to answer you on two levels. Number one, I surrender to the divine will. That's the halacha. That's what I do. They'll know the answer. They don't care anyway. I had an old joke when I was a rabbi. I said that I am not so important. And therefore, if I'm in the middle of a meeting, you don't have to bother me. Even if it's someone just died, because if they died, they're already dead. So what do they care if I'm an hour late? But that's the halacha. Number two.
Based on
now I'll explain what I believe is the truth. This is not so halachic, it's a more hashkafic. There's an old story with Rav Yisrael Salanter, you may have heard it, that he was in shul Friday night and someone asked him to come over for Friday night dinner, and he comes over and he comes into the house and he screams at his wife, Yidene! Which is a very disgusting way to call a Jewish woman. I told you the challahs have to be on the table before I come home so I can make kiddush. And he screams at her and yells at her. So Rav Yisrael Salanter looks and says, why do we cover the challahs Friday night? Shabbos morning.
Embarrassment.
There's different explanations. We once went through them. But one of them is, in order not, the challahs shouldn't be ashamed. Why? Because according to the laws of brachos, we have a hierarchy of brachos. Whatever's closest to the word eretz in the pasuk eretz chita v'seora comes first. So what comes first? Eretz chita, grain. The bracha on the challah should precede the wine. But Friday night, we say kiddush first. So in order not to embarrass the challahs that should have gone first, we cover them. There's other explanations, but that's one. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, don't your ears hear what you just said? You moron. You're worried about embarrassing challahs, but you're not worried about embarrassing your wife? And this goes on and on throughout halacha in many different areas. For example, you're not allowed to pour water on crumbs that are at least a kazayit big on the table that are left after a meal. Now again, you think that crumbs care? But all the mefarshim explain, again, hashkafically, Rav Dessler has a beautiful piece on this, I can send it to you. What you do with bread is what you're going to do ultimately with human beings. What you do with inanimates, meaning things that don't move, is what you're going to do with human beings.
Inanimates.
So, say again, I'm sorry.
Inanimates.
There you go. Thank you for correcting my... Anytime you could correct my English or Hebrew, with pleasure. Say it again so I'll know for next time.
Inanimate.
Okay.
They don't move.
Inanimate doesn't move, doesn't care, doesn't have feelings. And look how concerned halacha was with the challahs on Friday night. So all the more so, you're at a cemetery, these people can't daven anymore. They used to daven, but they can't. They used to come to shul on Yom Kippur. They can't. Do you think it's appropriate and suitable at that moment to start talking about mincha, daf yomi? Maybe again, they're not listening, they are listening, whatever. It's just behavior that will ultimately influence the human being. I hate to say this, but that there are people out there that enjoy giving it to you. You know the people like that, right? I know a guy who's still alive who doesn't fast on Yom Kippur. And every Yom Kippur, when people are coming home from Musaf during the break, I hate that word, but that's what people call it. I don't think there's a break on Yom Kippur. That's the Masorah I have from Rav Amital. We never announced the break in Yeshiva. We always said, Mincha is at this time. We couldn't say the word break. What break? What, you're taking a break from God? But during that break, a guy was walking home. The guy opened the door. Hey, you want to come in to eat? It eventually influences you. You just don't care. You just don't care. You're not sensitive to people around you. And therefore, I believe that in a cemetery, there's a beautiful halacha. Lo igla rash. Don't make fun of someone that just can't do it. Just can't do it. Imagine going to someone who got all his fingers shot off in the war and say, hey, do you play piano? It's just disgusting. It's just insensitive. And therefore, I think that it's extremely important that when you go to a cemetery, you have to think about these things. First of all, there's dead people there buried. Again, where the neshamas are and whatnot, right. Haven't been there yet, don't know. But it influences you if you go ahead and start talking about things they can't do anymore. Number two, the people that are alive, the aveilim, be sensitive to them when it comes to the mincha quandary of when do we daven mincha. Well, just because it's convenient for you, it might not be convenient for them. And number three, and this is the most important thing, when you come to a halacha that you do every day, if the day is perfect, obviously keep halacha. But sometimes there are imperfections. And therefore we should consult Rabbanim about these situations who may know a bit more than us and say, hey, wait a minute, you have a way out. Go around the corner. Seita Kochavim, Daven Myriv twice. There are ways to get out of it. And unfortunately, ignoramuses out there don't think there is. They think that this is halacha l'moshe misinai, and if you don't do it, you're going straight to hell. And therefore, at all costs, they do it. I was once on a plane, my word of honor, I daven mincha earlier, but a gentleman just got up, looked at his watch, and said, oh, have to daven mincha, sitting right next to me. Have to daven mincha, we were landing. I'm not talking about, we're about to begin our descent, which takes about another 40 minutes. No, no, no. We were landing. This is already, we see the ground. He gets up, takes off his seatbelt, starts davening. The stewardess run up to him and start trying to talk to him and tell him to sit down, sit down, sit down. He's davening. He's davening. He sat down and goes, what, they don't know the halacha? I said, what halacha? The halacha that afilu nachash, even if a snake goes on your heel, you're not allowed to move during davening. I said, yeah, that's one halacha. There's another halacha in the Torah. Yeah, what's that? It's called pikuach nefesh. Did you hear of that? Nah, because nefesh. What's the big deal? So I'll fall down, I'll break my head. I said, yeah, fall down, you break your head. You know the first person you're going to sue? Who? The airline. You know why? Why? Because you didn't listen. Number three. Did you see all the beautiful people, the stewardesses who are supposed to be sitting down, coming to try to get you to sit down? Yeah. I said, every religious man on the plane, including me, was embarrassed to be Jewish and religious at that moment for the Chilul Hashem you just did. And you know why? Why? Because you're an ignoramus. And I told him these very words, you're an ignoramus. Don't you know you're allowed to sit when you daven? What are you talking about? So I take out my phone, I open up, I have the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, and I show him, you're allowed to sit down on a chabor and daven, even Shmoneh Esrei. His answer, I'll never forget. This guy really got the last word in. What was his answer? I don't look at smartphones.
But you're embarrassed, he's good.
I talked to him privately. I talked to him privately. I said, what were you doing? I said, really? He said, what were you doing? I was really aghast. I was amazed. It's one of the only times in my life that I reprimanded a fellow Jew, because I don't know how to reprimand today. But that was the one time I had to reprimand. Yes?
You mentioned earlier how in a cemetery you don't discuss things that the dead can't do anymore.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I carpooled with some other kids. One was this girl. And we passed the cemetery. I noticed she was holding her breath. And when we were done, she caught her breath. I said, why'd you do that? She said, it's not polite to breathe in front of those who can't.
Okay, that's taking it to an extreme. I don't think you have to go that far.
She was doing it for fun.
We don't have to stop living for the dead.
The Gemara has a lot of stories where people went to cemeteries and spoke and were answered, as if to suggest that they basically are there.
We have to learn those stories properly. Again, stories in the Gemara can't be taken necessarily at face value. A guy was walking out when Navi came. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He was walking out when Navi came. I can just tell you that I know a lady in Efrat. I shouldn't have said that, but I did. Who was no longer religious because she went to school and they were talking about the beautiful dream of Yaakov with the ladder, and all the rocks had a fight who should sleep under Yaakov's head, and eventually they all became one rock. So she asked in class, how do rocks speak to each other? And the answer the teacher said was, when you know the whole Torah, you can ask questions. Till then, just listen to the story. Gentlemen, when you hear a story in Chazal, it's written in a certain context. You have to understand what it means. I don't think Chazal for a moment thought that rocks were talking to each other. They were obviously trying to bring out a message. What's the most simplest message of that medrash?
About Derech Eretz.
About how important Yaakov is.
Oh, in Derech Eretz, yeah.
Or the fact is, people are fighting to be under the head of Yaakov. Look what they do. How the more so we should cling to great rabbis. Whatever the message might be, but that you cannot teach that medrash and say, yeah, the rocks spoke to each other. So when you learn all the stories in the Gemara, I believe that's the way to teach it. That's the methodology I believe is correct. I don't think that every story in Chazal, you have to read it and say, oh, that's what happened. Yeah, absolutely. The guy was walking around and Navi came and God came from over here and that's what happened. There's obviously a message there that we need to take. Now that's with regard to stories in Chazal. Stories in Tanakh, I do not say that about. That's prophecies that really, in my opinion, are a totally different story, even though in Chazal there's differences of opinion.
My daughter just asked me that someone died on the street. They didn't wake up after going to sleep. And someone that we know is renting the apartment. My daughter said, how can people rent an apartment if someone died in the apartment? And I said, what do you think the issue is there? She said,
I think your daughter's asking an excellent question, and that is, how do we continue to live? How do we continue to live when people die? In other words, what will do we have to live? People are dying. Eventually, we're all going to die. So why live at all?
It was like the cemetery.
And that's exactly... No, I don't know if it's a cemetery idea. I think that it's far more profound than the cemetery idea. And it's a profound question, and I believe we have to give answers to those questions. And I think the most vivid answer is that if a person built an apartment, and that apartment's going to outlive that person. He brought something into this world that wasn't here prior than him coming here. And now when he dies, it outlives him. So the only thing left in the cemetery is his physical body, but his legacy, his principles, and even his physical apartment is still being used by others. Mm-hmm. And just think again, I don't know how things work in heaven, but we always talk about nachas to the mason. Imagine the nachas people get that if they lived in a house, they had Shabbos meals at a table and whatnot. Fortunately, they're waiting away in of all earth. And another from family comes in and sings Shabbos songs and does mitzvahs in your house that you built. Just imagine what nachas you can give in Shemayim, wherever they may be, to the Meitim. Mm-hmm. Okay, gentlemen, we should all live long lives and be very, very careful, not just with the dead, but with the living.